So if you got like text along with it and it matches, I mean, and it actually, you know, you can see what's going on and what you're talking about, it grabs the viewer more and it gives you, you know, a sense of connection. And that's what I want, to connect with the viewer.
Welcome to the Passionate Painter Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Italia Carlson. Whether your art is a full-time career or your side gig, if you are passionate about creating art, this podcast is for you. Don't worry about taking notes. I'll do that for you. And you can find them at PassionatePainterPodcast.com. This episode's shout-out goes to painter Brenda K. Robinson of Florida. Brenda sent me a wonderful email about the podcast. Thanks, Brenda. Hearing from listeners like you inspires me to get into my studio and to get behind the mic. When talking about her paintings, Brenda says she wants to paint the stories that make our hearts sing and make our tears taste of faith as we realize we are all connected with common threads of DNA. You can check out Brenda's paintings at brendakrobinson.com. I'll include her link in the show notes in the shout-outs box. Don't forget to check out my new online portrait course, The Portrait Code, with modules in design, composition, color theory, anatomy, perspective, mixing skin tones, and confidence included. It's everything I wished I could find in one complete online painting course. Learn more at PassionatePainterAcademy.com. Welcome back. In this episode, you get to meet Soraida Martinez, creator of the Verdadism art movement. I won't say much here because Soraida's bio is a little longer than usual, but I felt it important to include in its entirety to understand the purpose, focus, and importance of her movement. Her work is dynamic and addicting. This is one artist whose success in finding her artistic voice and using it to make an impact reaches a whole nother level. I'm incredibly inspired to dig deeper into my own work after our conversation, and I can't wait to share her with you. The interview ran long, so I've broken it into two episodes. Part two is available now at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode76. And you'll definitely want to check out the video of this interview to see images of the paintings she discusses in her overview of the movement. You'll find the video and, as usual, a gallery of some of her works in the show notes at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode75. Since 1992, Soraida Martinez has been known as the creator of Verdadism, a form of hard-edge abstraction where each painting is accompanied by a written social commentary. The artist's goal is to promote tolerance and a deeper understanding of humanity through engaging the viewer in a thought-provoking conversation on diversity, empowerment, and social justice. Soraida's Verdadism art aims to connect two distinct yet integral parts, the visual and the written word. Viewers are drawn to both her abstract paintings and her commentaries on humanity and the universal human condition. According to Soraida's artist statement, "My art reflects the essence of my true self and the truth within me. My struggle is for recognition, acceptance, and inclusion, and against racism, sexism, and the dominant Eurocentric male society, which never expected much from me, but still did not allow my voice to be heard. My belief is that one must empower oneself with one's own truth." Soraida gained recognition and received many awards for this unique, thought-provoking, and visually stimulating art style. Among many other philosophical issues, her Verdadism paintings also address sexism, racism, and stereotyping for the purpose of promoting hope, peace, tolerance, and social change. In 1999, she wrote a book on the art of Verdadism. Soraida's Verdadism, the intellectual voice of a Puerto Rican woman on canvas. Unique, controversial images, and style. For three consecutive years, 2008, 2009, and 2010, the artist was chosen by the Department of State as one of the 15 most prominent Hispanic Americans shaping the U.S. cultural scene. In a Huffington Post Latino Voices 2013 article, she was named among 10 of the best Latino artists in the U.S. In 2016, she was honored for her contribution to the Latino community with a Cultural Legacy Award, presented by the Hispanic Bar Association of New Jersey. In 2017, she was chosen for a solo Women's History Month exhibition at the Women's Rights National Historical Park Museum in Seneca Falls, New York. From 1996 to 1999, Soraida served as a member of the New Jersey State Council on the Arts. She also participated as an advisor in a think tank to bring the Trenton State Museum in New Jersey up to date with the community of Trenton. Since starting Verdadism, Soraida has been holding art talks and exhibitions at colleges and universities throughout the Northeast. She also opened the Verdadism Art Gallery in southern New Jersey. Currently, she is working on another book on the art of Verdadism and an exhibition of her latest paintings for the 30-year retrospective of her Verdadism art. Soraida, welcome to the podcast.
I'm happy to be here in your podcast.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. And I'd love to start us off with you telling us about the movement of Verdadism.
Well, in 1981, I graduated from college with a fine art degree. And what I did was I started working in corporate America. And what I did is I actually started my own art and design studio in 1986. So this was full-service design studio. So what I found when I went out there in corporate America, I found that there was a lot of discrimination and they didn't really accept people like me. And it was harder for a woman to get in there because we're talking in the 80s. So in 92, that's when I decided to speak out and create Verdadism. And I would like to start off by actually explaining the word Verdadism, because a lot of people don't know that the word Verdadism is made of a Spanish word for truth. V-E-R-D-A-D means truth in Spanish. And ism, the suffix for theory for English. And I combined these two words to actually describe my art. Now, in brief, it means to empower yourself with your own truth and go for it. Like I said, I created it in 1992 because I felt that I wasn't being heard. And I saw that there was a lot of racism, sexism, stereotyping. And I created it to promote social change. I also wanted to promote analytical thinking because during that time, we kind of went into like a phase that most people would just allow people to think for themselves. And they went in, it's the 80s, and you have like, for example, you have like Madonna singing The Material Girl, and most people were just thinking mostly about themselves, and they were sleeping about what was happening in society. So what I did with this movement, I actually did an exhibition, and I called the media and actually got covered by the newspapers and got covered by TV and magazines. And I saw that people were ready for the truth movement that is right now. But a lot of people wanted to hear about this because right now there is a lot of people speaking out. But before, especially somebody like myself, a Latina, was not really talking about these issues. But anyway, I just wanted to like talk to you about what is Verdadism as an art form? And a lot of people ask me that. And as an art form is there are paintings juxtaposed with written social commentaries. By that, I mean that each painting gets like a commentary along the side of the painting. There are three parts and there are three aspects of Verdadism: the painting part, the commentary, and then the philosophy. Now, I'm going to break it down a little bit just to give you, your viewers a little bit of an idea of what it is. and it's kind of brief because it's more involved, but the painting style is a hard edge form abstraction. By hard edges, I mean that they don't have a quality, they have a flat plane, they don't have a painterly quality to it. And I use a lot of design because I'm also a designer, so I balance colors and I balance flat planes. I use like a lot of bold colors. I use like two planes to every painting. A lot of people have asked me, they thought it would look like cubism. But it is not, because cubism is basically you have like three different planes. I only use like two planes. So it's different if most of your viewers that have a trained eye, they will notice the difference. Now, bold colors, I used it in the beginning because they make a statement. And most of my paintings, like if you walk by, it's so bold that you would just kind of like want to know, what is this? And I did that on purpose. As a style, I use like distinctive style. I elongate arms. I use a lot of symbolism. You can see it in little areas if you're looking through the paintings. And I convey feelings through the composition of the painting. The way I place things, like it's hard to do like create feelings with a linear line, but you can do it. And I use a lot of design with that. Now the subject matters and motif is my life experiences. Now the commentary is the second part, which I want to explain about that too. Like I said, it's to promote social change. I use bold statement, and in terms when you do a bold statement, it becomes activism. I use long titles. Now, if you were passing by one of my paintings and you were to read the commentary, the title would tell you everything, because I do that purposely. I do that for if you don't want to read the whole text. Now, I also, the speaking style of the painting is basically like if you were thinking out loud, because what I'm doing is I'm recording a snapshot of my life experience at the moment. So when I write the commentary, I try to write it where it flows, like if somebody is just speaking, it's not, you know, like a text. And also, too, I use like feelings. I want to convey feelings through that. If I actually like edit it, it would probably be more like a, you know, it will come out stiff. So I do that. Now, I want to give you an example of it, because it probably, you know, would be better if I give you an example of one of the titles. Please stop calling us minorities. We all know that's an unfair label with negative connotations. Now, this was in 1994. We're still labeling. In America, we label everything. And when we label something, and I have a painting that is called Labeling and Social Lynching, which it is, because when you label something, you have a preconceived idea of what you're going to go through. So I don't think people should be labeled, but it works out like that. What Prejudice looks like is a painting that I did, and it's a large painting in 1993, which I brought out to the school system to mainly like kids at the age like 6, 7, just to open up a dialogue on racism in a friendly way. And if you see the painting, and people are welcome to go to my website, and I have them up there, the old paintings. It's a figurative blockhead with arms that is just really just like strangling yourself when you're prejudiced. So kids get it when it's, you know, then, oh, I know what you're talking about. Because it's very visual, you know, it's a very visual language. Woman on a String, 1992. This painting, I have a woman just hanging from a string, and it's about a male society, and it's happening right now. It was 1992, and was really to represent what was happening then at that moment, but 30 years later, we're still having the same things. It's never changed. It's gotten even worse. Now, Puerto Rican stereotype, the way you see me without looking at me. I do a lot of paintings about, you know, being stereotyped, because we do stereotype a lot of people in this country. And this painting is a large painting, and it's satirical. It's like a common Miranda-looking lady, and people get it when you have a preconceived idea of somebody and you stereotype them, it's not really sophisticated to do that. Interracial Family, The Way Society Sees It. It's a 1992 painting about my mother is a Puerto Rican of, she's more Caucasian, of Spanish ancestry. And then my stepfather, which she married when I was a teenager, he's more of African ancestry. He's Puerto Rican, but he's Black Puerto Rican. And I lived in the area in South Jersey where at that time in the 70s, when they saw my parents and me walk into a restaurant, they would, I mean, I felt that they got like an eerie feeling of seeing us. So if you see the painting, it's an abstract painting. The woman has a round face, and then the man is actually a square face. The middle figure that I felt was just like a round face and a square face together. The visual part of it, you can see exactly what I meant by that. Now, the tarot demasking oneself is 1995, and I feel that most people would rather die than be themselves and show who they really are. And in order to really do Vedaism, you have to really dig into yourself and into your subconscious mind and let your true self come out. It's about truth. So if you're going to speak truth, you have to be truthful to yourself. So that's what the Vedaism philosophy is. I talk about women's issues too, and the title of this one is called Women Working Together in 1994. I feel that in order for women to progress, we need to work together and we need to really help each other out. Because what I see is a lot of women say, oh yes, we're going to be a part of a movement, but when they don't really promote other women, I'm saying we need to do more of it. And that's the only way we're going to make any kind of change in this society, especially with the women's, you know, movement. Now, the last part, which is the philosophy, the third part, the philosophy means to empower yourself with your own truth and go for it. And I explained that a little bit about that. And the second thing is to live for the moment and respect for others. Respect for others, Abby. I feel that we went into an era where we lost respect for people that look differently, and especially like the last, I think it was the last 6 years. So I think if you don't have respect for people, that's not a sustainable society. So giving back to society is very important to keep a sustainable society. You have to give back and get involved, because if you don't get involved, you're not going to make any change. And keep an open mind. I mean, most people don't really open up their minds. Like, if anybody's hearing this podcast, they'll probably say, who is this lady speaking about what? Vedaism? What is that? You know? So they're immediately probably going to close up and say, you know. But that, I think in order for anybody to really gain some kind of knowledge and create and, you know, do something important in life, you really have to keep an open mind. And the last part is to connect with your spiritual side. And by that, I don't mean in a religious way. I mean more, you know, psychologically, more spiritual, in the sense of really getting to know who you are as an individual. And in your subconscious mind, you know, putting your subconscious mind into use. I think that creativity, a lot of times I let my subconscious mind just start digging into it when I paint. You know, I just like don't really analyze it. I just let it just flow. And you can get a lot from that. So that's what Vedaism is. And it's brief. I'm writing a book about it. Another book about Vedaism, and it will explain a little bit more than what I talked about.
Thank you for that. How do you actually incorporate the commentary into your work? I'm looking at the artwork behind you. Do you normally, is there a comment beside it on a plaque that people can read as they go around the gallery?
Yes, exactly. So that's what Vedaism is just a pose with the commentary. So if you want to do a Vedaism painting, you have to have commentary. But the way I do it is I may look at an issue that I think that I want to talk about, and I'll jot down and write down, like I said, I'll write down what's bothering me about it and also, it has to have a message. All of them have a message. At the end, there's a message. And then I paint and I incorporate both of them. And when I exhibit it, I always put the commentary. I mean, I get a lot of people that just use the painting and it's not complete without the commentaries. So that's how I incorporate it. Sometimes I might paint something or just jot down a painting because I have something that I want to, paint about. And then I do the commentary. So I don't do like a structure, either one or the other.
I understand what you mean. A lot of my paintings, all of them actually, have some underlying meaning to me that's much deeper than what's being portrayed on the canvas. And I've spoken to marketers on the show who recommend getting involved in the message behind each piece, because in most cases, people want to know what motivated you. Maybe not the exact description of what the painting is about. You want to leave that room for them to enter into the painting with you. Exactly. But to go ahead, some people will say, well, don't tell anyone what it's about because it's art. But I've always been pulled to talk about what motivated me with each painting. And so I love deeper level that your paintings have.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, when I went to college in the 70s, 80s, my professor used to say, your art should speak for itself. That was old school.
Yeah.
It should speak for itself. But I actually just broke all the rules. And I think that people gravitated towards my art because when I did it, I actually, in 94, I put my website up and I put my paintings up there. And educators like throughout the United States and even in the world, they would just link certain paintings, and they will teach. They were teaching tolerance with my paintings because they had a statement. So they will review it with the class and they will actually ask the students what they thought about it. So it was very friendly, it's very easy to know what's happening. And most people complain about the fact that when they see a piece of work that's abstract, they wonder, what is this, And they immediately, they just like close up because if they can't understand it, they're like, oh, what is that, So if you got like text along with it and it matches, and it actually, you can see what's going on and what you're talking about, it grabs the viewer more and it gives you, a sense of connection. And that's what I want, to connect with the viewer. And they start thinking about it.
Yes. Well, I think it's very successful. And I've noticed that there is that design element, but then there's the message underlying, even if I favor what you do, which is explaining the motivation and what this is really trying to convey. But they're also beautifully designed. I love your compositions.
Oh, thank you.
And you can tell there's a strong tribal element to them as well. There's kind of Aborigine elements. There's West African elements. I love
them. I use my earlier paintings I did. Now they're a little bit, they have changed a lot, but yes. So I study a lot of artists, so I could see, what you're talking about. Yeah. But a lot of it, is like the Western sculptures with the elongated arms and stuff like that. I got influenced by that because of the fact that it's super sophisticated. Because in order to abstract anything, most people would think, oh, that's abstraction. But to do it right, you have to balance things. So you really have to be able to have a knowledge of design. And, I think that like Western African art, most of the people in the art world kind of like not looked at it correctly, but I think it's very sophisticated, very good to do that.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I can see it clearly in there.
This wraps up part one of my interview with Soraida Martinez. Part two is available now at passionatepainterpodcast.com/episode76. Don't forget, my portrait painting masterclass, The Portrait Code, is now available at passionatepainteracademy.com. I created this course for all the painters who tell me they can paint other things, but they just can't paint portraits. This course shows you how to approach painting portraits to get a great start, even if you're scared. And it shows you how to assess your progress and get back on track when you've gotten in the weeds. Learn more at PassionatePainterAcademy.com. Until next time, go make something.